Welcome to Sky Talk Radio, an aviation podcast that talks about the airline industry today. Brought to you by flight crews, flight attendants, and passengers. We feature stories that are funny, shocking, and downright entertaining. We're bringing back storytelling, one passenger at a time. So buckle up your seatbelts and let us entertain you on Sky Talk Radio. So, hey, Curbs, I had an interesting thing happen to me last week.
What happened, Ken?
Well, you know, I'm sure you've had this happen to you before. I had a medical emergency on board, and it led to a divert. So I thought might be an interesting story that for some of our listeners that aren't flight crews, that they could kind of listen and learn what we do when we have a medical emergency.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was I took off out of Massachusetts, heading down to Florida, and you know, it's interesting what happens. You get this call and you think, okay, that's, you know, when the in-flight crew calls you, you think, okay, something's going on, because you're airborne. We've been airborne for 10 minutes. They don't usually call you because, you know, they're getting ready to start their service, right?
And you guys just took off.
Yeah,
10 minutes into the flight.
Yeah, we just took off. We were about, I don't know, maybe 18,000-20,000 feet. And just so everyone knows, you know, when we have a medical emergency, we really have this protocol that we follow. We have we do a lot of training in the airline industry, and actually we train for this very scenario where we have a medical emergency in the back, and we have some standard operating procedures that we follow. So we're taking off. We took off out of Massachusetts, and we're climbing out. And now I want to just give you a little bit more background with the guy that I'm flying with, right? Because it's part of the story.
The other guy.
Yeah, the other guy, the first officer. So you got to picture this guy, okay? He is he's in the training department, right? And he's just one of those guys that when he walks into the room, you know, all the girls are like, oh, Bruno, you're so handsome. You know, one of those guys, and it's like 6 foot a lot, you know, rugged, good looks and muscles all over the place. And so that's who I'm competing with, right? I'm sitting here next to this guy who makes me, you know, look like somebody else. But he's real sharp. That's the thing that I like about him. He's a super sharp guy. So I don't have to really hold his hand when we're having this emergency. So back to the story. So we're flying along, and, you know, 10 minutes into the flight, I hear this ding. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. So I pick up the phone, and I said, hello. And the girl on the other end says, we got to land. And I'm like, okay. And I hang up the phone. Now, normally, we don't, you know, normally we go through this, okay, well, what's going on? What, you know, what's the emergency?
Right.
What, you know, who's... what's the issue? We didn't have any of that. We had, I've flown with this girl before. And so when I picked up the phone and she's like, we got to land, I'm like, okay, something's going on here. Let's get the airplane turned around. So I turned to Bruno. I said, hey, we got to divert, and I think we should go to JFK. It's close. Take care of it. And he says, you know, he's like, okay. And he starts moving the airplane and changing the course and starts talking to JFK. So in the meantime, I call back to the cabin and I said, all right, what's going on? And she said, oh, yeah, the guy in 1A had a massive heart attack. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Now she said, you know, I could tell she was a little shook up. And she said, but you're not going to believe this. We have not one, not two, but five trauma room nurses on board. And I was like, wow, is right. I mean, how often does that happen? And she said, they got this guy all laid out, all the all the medical equipment is out. They are doing their thing. And I'm like, okay, how old is he? And it's a guy, right? Yeah, he's like 62. All right, we'll have you on the ground here in about 10 minutes. So I get back up talking to Bruno, and he's, you know, got it pointed in the right direction. And we're going into JFK, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, I just trained for this about 2 months ago. So it's fresh in my mind. And I'm like, I know exactly what I need to do. And I'm like, all right, we're going to change the destination. We're going to start notifying all the people that are going to ask 1,000 questions. And of course, I start to program the computer to get ready to land. And I get all these interruptions, you know. The JFK air traffic controllers are calling me. And then the company, I called them up on the radio number 2, and they're asking me 100 questions. And I'm getting all these interruptions. And it was driving me crazy because I'm like, I can't get the plane on the ground, or I can't do what my little, you know, all my little chores here that I have to do with the computer and talking to people because I keep getting interrupted. And you've had this happen, right? I mean, it's a handful. And so, you know, every time I turn around, somebody's asking me a question. And finally, I'm just like, I got to turn this radio, the number 2 radio, off. And so, long story short, I don't want to make it a super long story, but we get, you know, priority handling into JFK, and we land on the ground. And, you know, Bruno, he's did a great job, and you know, he just basically flew the plane and did everything that we were supposed to do and make sure that I didn't forget anything, and went through a whole bunch of checklists. And when we landed on the ground, JFK, you know, they gave us a gate to go to. So I said to Bruno, hey, I'm going to taxi kind of fast, but I'm not going to be out of control, because then we're going to start making mistakes. You know what I mean? So we taxi to the gate, and we, just before we get to the gate, Bruno says, oh, by the way, you don't want to have a heart attack and go to Kennedy. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, this is not the place to have a heart attack. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, well, where is there really the ideal place? So we come around the corner, and I don't see the paramedics. Call for the paramedics. There's no paramedics. Usually, you know, they're sitting there with one or two vehicles, and the lights are going, and, you know, everybody knows something's going on. Here they come. So we pull into the gate, and I open the door, and there's 5 of these nurses, and this guy is like right there, row 1 in the galley. And I never knew we had this much equipment on board, and they are working him, man. They're giving him CPR. And the one nurse is looking at me like, nope, it ain't happening. He's not responding. And so they open the door to the airplane, and there are the cops. And I'm like, what do you want? And, you know, in Kennedy, they don't call the paramedics. They call the cops. And then the cops poke their head in, and they go, yeah, I guess he needs a paramedic. And I'm like, yeah, isn't that bizarre? So a couple minutes later, the paramedics show up. I'm like, good grief, you know, what kind of service is this? And they come in, you know, they put the guy in the stretcher, and they take him out, and they take him up to the top of the jetway, and his sister was with him. And you know, that's a mess. I feel bad for that. But I'll tell you about the people that are from Massachusetts. Nobody said a word. Nobody complained. Nobody argued. Nobody wanted to get off the air. I was amazed that everyone was so good. And I was thinking, geez, if we started this out in New York, they'd probably be booing us and throwing trash and cups and, you know, ringing the call bells and, you know, this place stinks, you know, I want a refund. Nothing. And we got, you know, so after that, you know, there's a whole lot involved with getting the airplane turned around and getting a new flight plan and talking to 57 people. And you have to replace all of the first aid equipment. And we finally get all that done, and they shove us off the gate, and off we go, and we take off. But I'm sad to say the guy did not make it. That was my first one, Curbs. My first guy that we had to divert, you know. Usually, my wife always asks me when I come home from recurrent training. She says the same thing every time. Did you save the people? And I'm like, we saved the people, babe. We're good to go. And she's like, yay. But this guy didn't make it. This guy didn't make it. I was kind of bummed out for the rest of the day. Anyway, that's my story. Just thought, do you ever have something like that go on?
I haven't had a full blowing like that one out of within the first 10 minutes. Knock on wood.
I tell you, I've had the strangest. Knock on wood, not yet. We had a guy one time we took off out of Fort Lauderdale. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, it seems like we're going to Jamaica, right? Kingston, Jamaica. And the flight attendant calls and says, oh, we got a guy. He's on oxygen. I'm like, okay. What do you think? Should we stop? And they're like, no, he just told us that he had open heart surgery this week. I'm like, what? and that guy made it fine. He just needed oxygen. And but you think, golly, what is going on with people in the airline industry? It can be anything. You could have a prescription drug, or you can be put on something that you had a procedure or something, and then you pressurize people, or maybe put a little alcohol in them, shake them all up, and put them in this airplane, and the next thing you know, you're diverting somewhere. So that's my story. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks, Gerbs.
Good story, Kenny.
SkyTalk Radio is sponsored by AirspeedJunkie.com. Find manufacturers of aviation apparel and accessories. See their full line of product at www.airspeedjunkie.com. Check our website or iTunes for future episodes of SkyTalk Radio as we bring back storytelling, one passenger at a time.